John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcast. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.
It is Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. This is another edition of Baseball Today. That is my man, Trevor Plouffe. I am Chris Rose, producer Dan, along for the ride as well. And boy, oh boy, I kind of wish we were in our studios up in New York just to see how the temperature is for everybody after the big announcement. It's our tip of the cap that John Sterling is officially calling it quits. He'll be honored this coming weekend. 86 years old, more than 5,000 Yankee games called. He's been doing it since 1989, and now one of the iconic voices of the sport is wrapping it up.
Yeah, I mean it's a sad day. I think you'd say. I mean, I know everyone wants to celebrate what's happened, but I believe these are sad days. You know, for me growing up, it was Vin Scully, and that's who I listened to. So I have that same appreciation for Vin that a lot of guys do for John Sterling. And then just recently got to work with Dick Bremer, who worked 40 years in the Twins booth, and now he's done. It's just like these guys are part of your life. Like whether you really, like even if you don't really follow Yankee games so closely, like John Sterling's been part of your life right. Because you've heard his calls over and over and over again. And if you just heard the sound of audio of his voice, you'd be like, oh, Yankee game. So I like love that. And you know what? He's part of Yankees lore forever, which is a cool thing.
Yeah. Mr. Gorman, I believe, who did the Celtics broadcast for 43 years, just called it quits. So it's definitely a changing of the guard. It's a part of the fabric of who you are as a sports fan when you're listening to things. Michael Kay, I thought, and the Yankee booth did a great job with it last night. And it really made me sad because he shared with us his conversation that he had with John Sterling, who said, hey, I want to put this out there that this is not health related. He goes, I just didn't enjoy going to the ballpark anymore. And when I heard that line, I was like, oh, how sad is that? Because whenever I go to the ballpark as a visitor, it doesn't happen that much anymore. I love being there, and I couldn't imagine not wanting to go anymore. I understand it. You've been doing it as long as he has, but it just made me feel sad.
Yeah, when you see like pictures of him and Michael Kay together, like from you know years ago, like makes me think like I'm taking those pictures now, Chris.
Right.
And right. Like I'm sure you've seen like no offense, but you've seen yourself like on Best Damn, and you know when you started Intentional Talk and all these things, and these years, man, the days are long, but the years are short, people.
Yeah, see how you've aged me in these 3 years we've done
me
this
too. Together?
God Almighty! All right, we're gonna talk about a bunch of teams that we haven't spent a lot of time on. Some good stuff, some not so good stuff, but let's get to it today. We're actually double dipping on the Miami Marlins. We're going to start with the fact that they just sent their best starting pitcher, Max Meyer, down to the minors. He, of course, continues to work his way back from Tommy John surgery that cost him the entire 2023 season. Some people were roasting the fish for that move. Are you one of them?
Well, I mean, I don't think I am, Chris. A lot of people are pointing towards service time manipulation, but I think he only needs like another 90 days to accrue a full year service time to keep his free agency on track. So unless they're keeping him down the entire year, I don't think that is what's going on here. They're saying they want to, you know, monitor his innings coming off the TJ. And you can do that better in the minor leagues. If he's going to go out there and have a piggyback guy throw three innings, you don't want that at the big league level because you're wasting guys. You only have so many pitchers you can have on the roster. In the minor leagues, it's a little bit easier to do it. It's just bad optics when the team is, you know, they've won three games. Mm-hmm. And I believe he started in two of them, and he's had a really nice start to the season, and it just looks bad. But I think if you peel back the layers a little bit, look, the Marlins aren't trying to win this year necessarily. I mean, they're just kind of not, dude. I don't know, like, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. Their foot is not down on the gas pedal. I will say that. So I think they have a plan, and they're executing it. It's just really bad timing and bad optics. And it sucks for Max because, look, you're having success at the big league level. This is where you want to be, and you have somebody telling you, no, actually, don't throw the ball anymore at the big league level. Go down and throw three innings in the minors. That is – it's brutal for a player. But you're at the organization's whim. You have to do what they say. So I don't know, man.
Usually, listen, I have questioned a ton of what the Marlins have done over the last several years. This thing, I'm not right. You can't put other guys' health at risk if you're going to do an innings limit at the major league level. It's not fair to the rest of the ball players. They are getting some starting pitching back. Cabrera was nasty last night in his decent debut. Braxton Garrett, although he got a little bit of a dead arm yesterday, reported, it sounds like he's not too far away. And then they've got a bunch of other guys who are still trying to find their way as former first-round picks that are getting shots in the rotation, whether that's A.J. Puck or Weathers. All these guys are getting, you know, Rogers is another one. If they can build some of those guys up and figure out that they can rely on them in the future or use somebody as a trade piece somewhere down the road, that will help the organization. Max Meyer is going to be front and center with this team if it does ever turn the corner. That's not the problem. Now, you said that they're not interested in winning. To me, that's the biggest thing. If you're proving 2 weeks into the season that you're not interested in winning, I don't know why I would pay good money to go see a team. That's the only thing here.
Well, okay. First of all, I love watching Max pitch. I remember when he got drafted out of the University of Minnesota. Like, he's the real deal. I wish teams would just go and say, here's what the plan is. This is the amount of innings you want to throw. I mean, did they specifically said that?
Well, they did say Skip Schumacher came out pregame yesterday. And he had an awfully busy day. We'll get to that moment.
Yes, apparently. He did.
He came out and he said, listen, he's going to throw once a week for three innings down there.
Yeah, but I'm saying overall, how many innings are we going to get out of this guy? Because I'd want, I don't know, 80% of those innings at the big league level. If I'm trying to win, he's one of our best pitchers. Like, let's get those innings at the big league level. If you're going to throw him down there, let's just get him at the beginning of or at the big league level.
Well, like, I don't think
How long is he going to spend down there, Chris?
If I had to guess, probably 6 to 8 weeks is my guess. That they want to have him for most of the second half of the year. That they didn't want him, you know, blowing all his innings in the first half of the year, and then we're going to shut you down for the last 2 months of the year. I don't think that's what they wanted.
If this is like an informed like decision that's been talked about with Max and his representation and the doctors, and they're saying this is the plan, then I'm okay with it. Okay, if this is just kind of on a whim, like, you know, let's send him down and have him throw three innings a week.
I know.
Like, I don't know how that's good. Like, is that good for your arm? I don't think that's been proven. Like,
right.
It just seems to me like we're just guessing out there with these, you know, return from TJ things. And, you know, this guy looks great right now. So let's ramp him up. He threw 91 pitches, Chris, in his last start, I believe. And now let's slow him down and throw three innings a week. Like, what's he going to do in between? How many bullpens is he going to throw? Like, why don't we just, you know, like, there's so many things I have questions about as far as ramping back up from TJ. I guess I just don't understand it fully. Maybe I'll never will.
Well, I don't think it's just you. I think that it's a lot of baseball executives and health physicians, too, that are throwing shit at the wall because there's not an exact science to this. By the way, so one guy's going down, Jack Leiter, was just announced by the Texas Rangers. He's going to make his major league debut Thursday. So I think he was the number two overall pick in the draft several years ago. He finally gets a crack at the major leagues, just like his dad did for almost 20 years as a major league pitcher. We'll talk about that more later in the week. I want to get to this quickly, what happened in the Marlins-Giants game, because there was some weird shit happening in the bottom of the eighth. Giants came out to make a pitching change. Tyler Rogers, the lefty, thought he was coming into the game. He comes out through the bullpen doors, and Giants are like, no, we want Dotel. And Dotel hadn't been warming up, so now they kind of restart the clock. Laz Diaz, the umpire, said, okay, and he got a few warm-up pitches out in the bullpen. Then he appeared. Then he got his full complement of warm-up pitches on the mound. And that actually made Skip Schumacher blow a gasket. Here's how he explains why he got ejected and why he was so pissed off after the game.
When Brian Price walks out to the mound, obviously there was miscommunication with who was coming in. That's okay. That happens. We're allowed to make mistakes as coaches and managers or whatever. But the fact that they got extra time, I have an issue with the umpires.
Okay, so once again, Laz Diaz said, if the manager makes the wrong decision and notifies the umpire immediately, then it's okay. You can still get your full allotment of pitches, restart the clock, because Skip wanted to at least start ball one, that there should have been a pitch clock violation at the very least. What is your take on this whole thing?
Well, first, I want to shout out Octavio Dotel. I don't think he's pitching for the Giants this year. I believe that was Camilo Doval. But
all right, Camilo.
I mean, maybe he made a comeback. I don't know.
Hey, listen, he pitched for every other team. So why not? Sorry, I didn't sleep well, people. Thank you. That was pretty
good. All right, Chris. I had to just get you right there. Okay, so Laz said that's the rule that, you know, they if a manager knows right away he messed up, he can get the other guy. I'm with Skip on this one. I don't think – I'm not with Skip when he said he shouldn't have time to throw some pitches. I think that's, like, brutal. Like, if your manager messes up or somebody on your team messes up, like, I don't want it to be – to hurt one of the guys. Like, these guys need to throw warm pitches. So I'm like not on his side there, but I do believe if you mess up or one of the players mess up, you should be punished. It should have been a 1-0 count. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the game. So I'm with him there, and he wanted to get thrown out, and he just waited for the first pitch that he believed was a ball and Laz called a strike, and that was it. Like, he wanted to get thrown out eventually. But yeah, I think it should have been 1-0. I don't think they should be penalized and not be able to throw warm-up pitches.
Hey, by the way, maybe that was the problem, is that he thought he was calling for Octavio Dotel. And so they were waiting forever for him to actually get out there. Good catch on your part. Shitty job on my part. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. It should be ball one. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the league changes this. Like, if they, once again, when you say a rule out loud, it's either going to sound totally ridiculous, or you're going to say something and be like, yeah, that's the way it should go. Well, this is the way it should go. And Skip Schumacher made the point. He's like, I was in the World Series when Tony La Russa called the wrong guy in from the bullpen. I think he called for Lance Lynn, and that's not who he wanted in 2010 against the Rangers. He's like, I've seen it happen to a Hall of Fame manager. So it does happen. Managers screw up. Coaches screw up. But there are also repercussions. When you make a mistake, it's not like, oh, okay, it's all right. Good try anyway. Like, yeah, it should have started 1-0. That's it. Very simple.
Laz's answer is hilarious. He wanted the pitch clock violation. We just spoke to a boss. What does that mean?
I don't know.
And they're going to talk about it. And because this has never happened before, so they're going to go to the upper echelons and decide on a rule on it. What?
Dude, I read the same pool report and I was like, Laz, somebody been drinking after the game? It was like he took a bunch of words and just threw them together in a sentence.
Hey, welcome to our show.
Right. Exactly. Starring Octavio Dotel. All right, good. We agreed on this. Let's move on to a cooler home run streak. Cubs rookie Michael Busch, he homered for the fifth straight game. Cubs take the opener of a series out in Arizona. By the way, that tied a franchise record by homering in five straight games. Or Mike Trout going deep every time he has played a series in the Trop. He did it on Monday, gave him a lead, and the Angels take the opener of their series against the Rays.
I love the Mike Trout stat. I feel like he's done that probably in a couple different parks, Tampa obviously being one of them, and then Seattle, he's got to be pretty close there. He just rakes when he goes up there. I'll go with Michael Busch because I just love the story, man. Like, we talked about it, I believe, on yesterday's show, and, you know, he's blocked with the Dodgers, gets traded to a good team where he's going to get a good opportunity, and he's just taking advantage of it. And this reminds me of somebody back in 2012 when he finally got his opportunity and started hitting a bunch of homers. That's me.
Oh,
yes.
What
a similar streak where I hit, you know, 11 homers in a month. And it really, like, cemented me as a starter in the big leagues. That's exactly what Michael Busch is doing right now. He's saying, I can do it at this level, and everyone knows it now. So I am very partial to the story. I'm rooting immensely for Michael Busch because AAA is not where this guy belonged. He belonged in the big leagues. He just didn't have the opportunity. Now he's getting it, and he's flourishing. It's a beautiful story.
You hit 11 homers in a month?
I think so. It could have been 10, Chris, but sometimes you just add on. I'll go back and look while you answer the question.
That is amazing. What the hell?
Yeah, I crushed, bro. I was every day I showed up to the park, I was going to hit a homer. It was awesome. It was awesome.
That's amazing. Like, were people talking to you? If you hit 10 homers in a month is a ridiculous number.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was just like, hey, I'm here. Like, I thought I was going to be like a perennial all-star. It didn't work out that way. I actually got hurt. I was during that streak. I was doing really well, and I got jammed with a Luke Hochever fastball, and I still have nerve damage right here in my thumb. I sat out for like 4 weeks. We couldn't figure it out, man. Like, how to like hit with this. And I came back and wasn't exactly the same. I didn't have that spark anymore, so.
Luke Hochever, a former number one overall pick, I do believe.
Yeah. Bowling balls, man.
Yeah. 11 homers. Producer Dan is telling us 11 homers. What month was it, Dan?
June.
June 2012. And 9 in 12 games is what we're being told. Holy.
I'm telling you, man.
Oh, my God. Way to go. Part of the.
Honestly, story. I rode that my entire career, Chris. So.
Sure you did. That's great, man. Yeah, you only had 97 more outside of that. But that's pretty damn good. Good for you.
Thank you.
Holy smoke. Well, I'm talking about the 9 and 12 games part, not the 11. Don't get me on my math and my mispronouncing of names.
Okay.
That'd be a double whammy. I love Mike Trout. I know Angel fans just think I want him traded out of town. I want to see him make the playoffs. Ploof and I discussed this earlier this year. Like, I would love, you know, by the way, tip of the cap to Anthony Rendon, who started the year over 21 and has found a spot as a leadoff man there.
Yes. Okay.
You know, I don't know if he's still worth $245 million, but that's fine. Mike Trout is amazing. And I scoffed at you a little bit when in our preseason predictions, you said that Mike Trout is going to win the AL MVP. And I was like, dude, that's not going to happen. As much, I am like the biggest Mike Trout fanboy, and I don't think it's going to happen. But he's got 7 homers, tied for the major league lead. He freaking looks so awesome at the plate. And now he has the greatest OPS in the history of any visiting player at the Trop. He just is a dude, man. He's just awesome.
He is a stud. And guess what? The Angels are 500, a half game out of first place in the West, okay?
Good.
Let's go, Angels.
Let's go.
Shout out Nate Steele.
Yes, we saw Nate and his beautiful bride.
Yeah, how'd you score that one, Nate?
I mean, holy smokes, Nate. Interesting.
Good for you.
That was the talk of our of our post game show, if you know what I mean. Hey, speaking of show, this one, Baseball Today, is sponsored by BetterHelp. Got a question for you. I want to know how your social battery is right now. It's really easy to kind of ignore your social battery and spread yourself too thin, right? You've got work, you've got too many friends. God almighty, what a problem that is. You got to see family, all sorts of stuff. And now with the weather getting better, everybody wants to go outside and do things and hang out, not just on the weekends, but after work or after school or whatever it is. So you have to find out what is the right amount of socializing for you, because all of our DNA is a little bit different. Some people are social butterflies. They like to go, 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 go. And BetterHelp can say, hey, you know what? You can handle this in your life. Other people, you need to like slow down a little bit, and that's okay. It's okay to say no to your friends. It's okay to say no to your family, that you just need a little bit of me time, and maybe be at home, maybe read a book, just hang out, take some deep breaths. Well, whatever it is, BetterHelp can help you, because it is therapy that is done exclusively online. You heard me talk about therapy. I've been in and out of it ever since childhood. It wasn't a single thing that sent me there, but it is always so helpful. Once again, it can be entirely done at your convenient place where you live, right in front of your computer as well. It's convenient. It's flexible. It's suited for your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You'll get hooked up with the licensed therapist. And by the way, if it doesn't work out with that person, you go see somebody else at no additional charge. So visit BetterHelp.com/baseball today. You're going to get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/baseball today. All right, we continue on. I'm wearing a Rockies hat for the first time this year. First of all, the lid is incredible, right? Their batting practice hats are awesome. What's not awesome is the way that they lost last night in extra innings in the city of brotherly love. They had a very short bench because a couple of guys are ill, a couple of guys are injured, including Chris Bryant. So they had to put their pitcher, Kyle Freeland, in as a pinch runner in the ninth inning. He tried to score on a wild pitch, got thrown out, got a little banged up at the plate, the whole bit. And once again, why were they short? A couple guys were ill, and Chris Bryant, no go. Bad back. Former league MVP is now hitting 149 in 47 at-bats this year. Will we ever speak in glowing terms about Chris Bryant's play ever again?
Yes, I believe we will. I believe we will. You know, I kind of went over and started to look like what's really going on. Let me look under the hood with Chris Bryant a little bit. First of all, he has been dealing with some injuries, you know, that limits his playing time. 2022, 42 games. Last year, 80 games. Like, when you're on the field sporadically dealing with injuries, it's hard to get in a rhythm. And sometimes it's as simple as that. You know, like I need to be getting my at bat so I can find, you know, my pace on this season. I need to, you know, feel good about my movements and all these different things. So like the injuries are definitely a big part of it. And once fully healthy, you know, that's going to help him. He struggled immensely with breaking balls the last couple years, which is interesting to me because usually when you get a little bit older, the fastball seems to catch up to you and you start to struggle with fastballs a little bit. And so my thinking is it could be possible that he's compensating for, you know, age and injury a little bit, which, you know, he wants to go out and make sure he can get to the fastball. Things start moving a little bit quicker when you're just dead set on getting to heaters. You know, your front shoulder starts to leak, your front hip starts to leak. All of a sudden you get exposed to pitches moving away from you. Different quadrants of the zone become unhittable. So I guess to answer your question, he's got to be fully healthy. He's got to play every day. And I think if he gets back to that where he's feeling good physically and he puts together a full season, I know where he's healthy now and, you know, we're looking at a really bad start to the season, but if he gets 600 plate appearances this year, it wouldn't shock me if we saw an 800 OPS out of Chris Bryant. Like, he is that good of a player. Okay. Like, you just have to feel good about yourself and you have to have consistent ABs at the big league level. If you're not getting consistent ABs at the big league level, you're going to struggle. And the guys that don't struggle doing that, like tip of the hat to you, because it's a very difficult thing to do. So to answer your question, yes, I do believe we'll speak glowingly about Chris Bryant again. Will we ever get back to rookie of the year, MVP status, where you're putting up 7 WAR a year? Like, probably not. But he can definitely be a 3.5-4 win player for Colorado, and he's got a couple more years left on the contract. Like, he's got time to prove it. I think we'll see it.
I'm worried. I hate speaking negatively about players. I just love talking to them. I love this one. I don't see coming back around anytime soon. And it's hard for me to say that because he was a wonderful, wonderful player. I think the biggest ovation he's going to get is the one he just had at Wrigley Field when they were there recently. Because even on their home opener for the Rockies, he hit his only home run of the year. And then later he struck out, I believe, with the bases loaded. McMahon kind of saved him with the walk-off grand slam. But then he got booed that day. On a day where he went deep, that's how bad it is for him in Colorado. And they're not known as rough fans or anything. Like, they will be appreciative. They just could have been silent. They could have been like, oh, missed opportunity. They booed him. They booed him on his way back. And I just don't see it happening, man. The guy has got 16 home runs in more than 500 ABs as a Colorado Rocky. That's it. I don't see that OPS coming up anytime soon. I don't think he gets over 800, even in that ballpark. It's been a bad marriage, and I don't think it's going to improve. Maybe he needs some better help therapy.
Chris, I mean, in a shortened 2022, okay, a couple seasons ago, he had an 800 OPS. Yes, 40 games, 181 plate appearances. I understand that's a small sample size, but like, he's not that far removed from what we're talking about here. I don't expect him to one dot it ever again. I don't think that's going to happen. But this guy still is that player. You don't just lose it that fast. Now, if you get injured, you can lose it that fast. But if you're out there and you're feeling healthy, I think he's dealing with like some back stiffness right now.
Yeah.
If this guy is healthy, and whether that means he needs to change his training routine or change his offseason or whatever it is, you got to figure it out. He's got 4 more years there. Like, he's got to do something. If he gets back to that point, I can 100% see this guy having an 800 OPS.
I hope I'm wrong. I want to be wrong. There's some things I don't want to be wrong on. This one I want to be wrong on. Last year, he played half the season in OPS of 680, OPS plus of 77. Right now it sits at 528, once again with 47 at-bats this year. Whew, that is tough. And the thing was, he was so good, he had almost a 900 OPS on the north side of Chicago. That's part of the problem. Seth Lugo has been a problem for the opposition. 4 starts this year, an ERA a smidge over 1. Shutout ball last night. Royals blanked the White Sox, which means that Chicago is now the second team ever to be shut out in 6 of its first 16 games of the season. Can you please give the Southside fans something to be excited about this year? Anything.
I mean, I just saw AJ Pruszynski like absolutely going off on the organization and, you know, the talent they haven't been able to develop and all these different things. He's much closer to the organization than I am. I would say, look, Garrett Crochet has been a nice surprise, I guess, this year as a starter. That looks, he looks good. Kopech, who we've been hoping to figure it out forever, like looks like he's having a good start to the year back in the bullpen. He's been kind of back and forth rotation to the bullpen. So you got a couple big arms that are there. I don't know what you do with them. Clearly they're not in their window, quote unquote, right now. So if you get these guys, what's, I mean, Crochet still has plenty of control. He's a free agent after 2027, first year arb this year. Like, do you look to trade these guys? Like, is that something you look forward to? I don't think that's something you look forward to, but I think, I guess that would be my one takeaway is you got a couple of big arms that are starting the year off well for you. Whether that's, that means you're going to have them in the future and they're going to be, you know, heading a rotation. Great. Or, you know, maybe you get something for that window that may be 3 or 4 years down the road. I don't know. It's going to be a tough season for White Sox fans. Okay. I got something.
Yeah.
Summer's almost here, and summer in Chicago is beautiful. There you go.
Okay. This is a loaded question because you took the two guys. I think that Kopech might be able to set a record. He has saved both of their wins this year. He might set a single season record for highest percentage of games won by your team in which you got a save. So that means they might only win like 45 games, but he might end up getting like 38 saves. So he could set a record or something. And yeah, Crochet is trying to find his way. It's interesting because those two have seemingly flopped roles, right? Crochet started in the bullpen. Now he's getting a shot as a starter. Kopech, they always thought in the trade when he came over from Boston, he would be a top front of the line starter. Instead, now he might be an ace closer, which I think is a perfect position for him. So I mentioned that they are only the second team ever to get shut out in six of their first 16 games. I want to introduce you to the 1907 Brooklyn Superbas.
Oh, my gosh.
And they there was nothing superb about that team except that they really couldn't hit. They hit .232 as a team, and they had 18 homers as a squad that year. This year's White Sox are only the fourth team since 1907 to have as bad a 16-game start as the 2-14 White Sox. The 88 O's, who, of course, didn't win anything in their first 16. The 03 Tigers went 1-15, and then the 92 Royals and the 69 Indians matched the 2024 White Sox. So I suppose the good news is you've got company. This is rough.
It's rough.
And dude, a couple years ago, like, they were legit World Series contenders. I thought,
me and you both, buddy. Me and you both. They had a bunch of Cuban ball players on their team, which, you know, I like, and it just didn't happen. Nick Nastrini is a guy you got from the Dodgers, and he's come up, and he's kind of like a young guy in your rotation. Be happy about that. I mean, anytime you can develop some sort of pitching, be happy, but it's going to be a long year, White Sox fans. You know that.
Woo! You know what the best thing has been? Seeing the celebrities that take the picture with the, what's that shake that they call it? The campfire milkshake. Like, I saw Simone Biles and her husband, Jonathan Owens, who plays in the NFL.
Oh, at the Sox game.
Yeah. They that's what they do. They have all the celebrities take a picture with them with that 16 ounce milkshake, which I would love. I would love to get my hands on.
I'm going to put that in my body.
You know what? You're missing out. At the end of the day, when you're on your deathbed, are you going to be like, God, I'm so glad I didn't have one of those campfire milkshakes?
Yeah, when I have my extra 15 years of beautiful life with my family, I'll be like, I'm happy I didn't eat.
If you make it to 108,
processed sugar,
you're going to be drooling all over yourself anyway the last five.
It's not true.
It's true. All right, some amazing sights and sounds from Monday's action. So which of these three things was most amazing to you? The Cardinals couldn't challenge a play in Oakland because the security guard got in the way and Ali Marmol took him and threw him aside. He was like, get out of here. And so, no, time ran out. We had the Gronk spike on the first pitch of the Red Sox Patriots Day game against the Guardians. And then how about the ball boy at Dodger Stadium trying to get out of a Jesse Winker liner down the left field line? He grabbed the seat and is running along the wall. And just, boom! Almost took a header right there. So which of those three were you like, interesting?
The Gronk spike got me. Like, I was like, okay, what's going to happen on this first pitch? And then the spike, I didn't even like have that in my head. So that was awesome. I'm going to go with kind of like an upset. you know, answer here. Like Ollie Marmol, I'm trying with you, bro. I'm trying with you. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. I'm talking to guys like, what's going on with him? And then you do stuff like this. That's my boy right there. That's a former police officer who works at the Ace at the Coliseum. Had many conversations with him when the timeout is called. That's his job, is to walk out onto the field to make sure everything is okay. And Ollie, like putting his arm out and grabbing him and then acting like it was his fault. Like, relax a little bit. I think that's my biggest takeaway here for Ollie Marmol. You need to relax a little bit. Okay. Like, you're going to get the call in, you're going to get the challenge. All these things are going to be okay. Like, you're always just so tense and uptight. Relax. I think it'll be better for like the clubhouse in general if you just were a little more relaxed. And like, again, I'm trying with this guy, but every time I see him on the field, he's doing something that pisses me off.
By the way, like, you're good, Ollie. You just got a contract extension for stinking. Like, good for you, man. You're all right. You're going to get paid the next year regardless of what happens. And by the way, I always teach our boys, like, kill them with kindness. If there's something you don't like, like, he could have, like, wrapped his arm around the security guard and turned to the umpires and be like, hey, my man got in the way. Like, can I get a little help here? I understand it's competition and all that sort of stuff, but, like, the best managers in the league, I don't think would be putting their hands on a former cop.
Heck no.
You know, like, try to discard him like he's an offensive lineman preventing you from getting to the quarterback.
Even, like, the most, what's that word I'm looking for? Ornery managers in the game. Who are they? Like Mike Schilt, Bud Black. I don't know.
Mike
Maybe
Schilt's
I'm totally
great, dude. Do you know Mike
he's
Schilt?
He's not ornery.
No, he's awesome.
And he looks like it. I don't know. I don't really have a relationship with him. But listen, what you said is exactly what should have happened. Like, maybe like initially, like, hey, hold on one sec. And then afterwards, like, hey, man, like a big hug or something.
Yeah.
Dude. Like anything that's like smile on your face.
Hey.
We don't forget that from him.
I know we don't ever. It looks like the most miserable job, and like there's like three worse jobs in the country than being the Cardinals manager today. If you look at our Ollie Marmol, hey Dan, do we have sound on the Gronk clip? Is there audio on that? Yeah, why don't you play it sound full, because it is very funny. Listen to this again. Let's get this out. Oh, there's no sound. I'm not hearing this. Hold on. Let's. We're putting Dan to the test. Yeah, let's re-rack that. Re-rack that. Let's do it again.
That got me, Chris. That got me.
That is the best part. That is the best. Now, let's remember that after the Patriots won, like, their fifth Super Bowl or whatever it is, and they were trotting it out to Fenway Park to throw out the first pitch, all those guys, Gronk was taking batting practice with the Lombardi Trophy and dented it, you know, as he was, like, trying to bunt a ball in the batting cage. So, anything is fair game with that dude.
Oh, man.
Anything. All right. Fun episode. We talked about a couple teams that we don't normally talk about, not always in glowing terms, but that's baseball. That's baseball, Susan, as we do give John Sterling a tip of the cap. We are back at it Wednesday. If you want to join us live, it'll be noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific time for our one-of-a-kind producer, Dan Rourke, and the uber-talented Trevor Plouffe, who I will get to try a campfire milkshake at some point in 2024. I am Chris Rose. We will see you Wednesday on Baseball Today.